Joining me in the opening salvo here is a lovely lady. I've had her on the show before. She's really a lot of fun. She's one of the Saturday Evening Post's favorite humor writers. And we had her on when she wrote, "If These Are Laugh Lines, I'm Having Way Too Much Fun." She has a new book out. We'll talk about that. And is a columnist read all over the country. Her name is Rose, nothing more beautiful than Rose Madeline Mueller. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Jordan. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Well, I'm pretty good, except I'm upset that I wasn't invited to Chelsea's wedding.
Now, beautiful people. The book you wrote is called The Beautiful People and Other Aggravations.
That's my current aggravation.
Why don't we start right off the bat? How about these toilets that cost $15,000 to rent? These luxury porta potties.
I haven't heard about those.
Yeah. Well, anyway, $3 million, $4 million for a wedding. What do you think?
Oh God. Well, I guess if you can afford it, it's fine.
Well, you're taking a very diplomatic approach.
Right.
I guess the key is if the wedding holds, if the marriage stays intact, it will be worth
true.
It.
That's true. That's true. I'm upset that I need a replacement too. That I'm not sure it's going to be worth the money. To do that, if that doesn't last, you know, it'll be a bummer. But a wedding, I suppose, is an even more important challenge.
We have your new book of essays, which is really fun. We'll talk about that in a bit. But, you know, it's interesting, a couple of things that I want to talk to you about. First of all, the story about you and the Stranger in My Mirror.
Oh, that old.
Well, originally titled The Stranger in My House, right?
Right, right.
And this is kind of interesting because people will find your story to be it's almost fated that this should happen. You wrote this essay, and somehow it got into the hands of Ann Landers.
That's right. That's right. You remembered that, Jordan, right?
Can you pick it up from there? What happened?
Sure. A friend of mine called me one morning, and she says, have you seen the paper yet? Have you read Ann Landers' column? And I said, no, I haven't picked up my paper yet. She says, well, your story about the old lady in your mirror, it's in there, word for word, but your name isn't in there anywhere. And I said, oh, my gosh. So anyway, I ran downstairs, picked up my paper, and sure enough, there was my old lady in the mirror. So I immediately phoned the Chicago Tribune. I Googled Ann Landers and found that's where she was headquartered. And I phoned her, and I got her secretary, and she said, Miss Landers will call you back. And I thought, yeah, sure. But she did. She actually did call me back. This is when she was still alive. She said, oh, I'm so glad to hear from you. She said, oh, my sister had sent me that story. My sister lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and she had read it, and she said she didn't know who the author was, but she liked it so much that she wanted to share it with me, and I wanted to share it with my readers. She said, it was just so funny. And I said, well, she said, we laughed and laughed, and I said, well, I cried. She said, why? And I said, well, you know, for years I've wanted to get something published in a nationally syndicated column, and now I have had this published, and without my name attributed as the author. So she apologized profusely. Apparently her nephew had sent it to his mother in Phoenix, and he had gotten it on the Internet. And sure enough, this story has been all over the Internet, copied by everyone, sometimes attributing me as the author, but mostly not. And but she did print an attribution of a couple of...
Well, you have the essay in the new book, too. In the
Yes, yes, it is in the new book, right.
Okay. Why did you start with The Beautiful People? And let's start, who are these beautiful people, first of all?
Oh, they're, you know, the beautiful people who... Like the Clintons who have so much money, have everything. I guess it's a sour grapes thing, Jordan, I have to admit.
And yet, I know you, Rose. I know you're just like me. If you really examine these people on the beautiful jet set, that they may seem to have it all, but they don't necessarily have it all.
No, that's true. That's true. That's very true.
Now
so one thing that bothered me too about this, my publisher Pelican Publishing
mm-hmm.
did the cover. I had no input into the cover at all. And I know you have the book, and there's this lovely girl on the cover. And a friend of mine called me, and he says, "Oh, I love your book." He says, "Now, who's that gorgeous girl on the cover?" And I said, "You didn't recognize me."
Yes, it's a stunning visage of you or anybody you want it to be. Anyway, let's get into some of this. You've been writing for a while, and you write with a lot of humor. You remind me a lot of Irma Bombeck. But you go,
oh, thank you, Jordan. She was one of my favorites. Yeah. That's a wonderful compliment.
But as you go beyond that, because you're very, very key on pop culture and stuff. And I think one of the things that I want to ask you about or talk with you about is the fact that just because somebody is a little older in years, it doesn't mean you can't be hip. And I think there, because of the, well, what you do, you're very hip, but I mean because of the internet and because of all the possible media, I think a lot of people in their, even in their senior years, are hipper than we might give them credit for.
Well, that's true. I think there are stereotypes. You know, you think of the, you know, the stereotype of the old lady who doesn't know what's going on around her, and that's not necessarily true.
No, I think, you know, you just have to turn on your TV.
That's right, absolutely. Right. Although I must admit that so many of my contemporaries will have absolutely nothing to do with anything modern. I mean, the computer, they won't get within spitting distance of one. I think they're, I don't know, they're afraid of them or what, but a lot of them are closed to new ideas, but I like to think that I'm not.
You wrote a piece called What's in a Name? There's a bunch of essays in this book. It's a lot of fun. What's in a Name? And, of course, your name is Rose, which is a great name. But then you take a look at some of the names that people have named their kids, some of the celebrity names. And,
it's ridiculous.
It's really off the tracks, isn't it?
It is. It is. But they give me something to write about, so I can't complain.
Toni Braxton named her children Denim and Diesel.
Right.
And as you say, she could have chosen burlap and regular unleaded, which is a funny line. And let's see, we've got Live Aid founder Bob Geldof and Polly Yates named their children Fifi, Trixie Belle, Peaches, Honey Blossom, and Pixie for the poodles or shih tzus they would have preferred. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this is just one. How many of these pieces that you write are based on everyday occurrence? Things that happen.
Oh, I think all of them. I think all of them. People ask me, you know, where do you get your ideas? And I just get out of bed, and there they are confronting me.
Yeah, I write a little column on my website. And,
you do. I love it.
And I've been writing for years, and I just, it's funny. I don't know what to write about until it sort of hits me. And
I find that once I get the first sentence out, the rest of it almost writes itself. It's almost eerie. It's as though somebody else is guiding my fingers on the keyboard.
You know something? I feel the same way, and I know
really?
Robbie said it. It's weird. It's just like, oh, my God, it just flows.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. It's just getting started and getting the initial idea and getting the title.
Now, we're gonna go back in time a little bit for you Hollywood fans. And Joan Fontaine, tell me about Joan Fontaine, because she wrote on the back of this book a lovely little squib about you.
I know. She's a lovely lady. I met her. I was operations manager for, I don't know how many of your listeners are old enough to remember the Chateau de Ville dinner theaters. There was a chain of 5 theaters in New England, 3 in Massachusetts and 1 in Rhode Island and 1 in Connecticut. And she did a couple of shows for us, and I met her through that connection, and we've been friends ever since. She has a wonderful sense of humor, and in fact, I talked to her just last week. How are you, Joan? She called and says, how are you, Joan? And she says, I'm 92, darling. How do you think I am?
Well, she's one of the grand dames of Hollywood. She's, right? I mean, she's, who was her sister again?
Olivia de Havilland.
That's right. From Gone with the Wind, for crying out loud.
Lifelong feud. They're still not speaking.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's sad.
But that's really cool that Joan Fontaine still with us and one of the greats, one of the Hollywood, you know, golden era greats.
Right.
And it's funny you should bring up the Chateau de Ville, because we were just talking about that at dinner with a couple of friends.
You're kidding.
There was one in Framingham, where I'm from. There was one in Randolph, where I grew up.
Randolph, right.
Where were the other ones?
Saugus.
That's right.
And then there was one in East Windsor, Connecticut, and in Warwick, Rhode Island.
So you were operations director?
Operations manager.
Wow.
That was my fancy title.
Did that mean you were booking the acts and so forth?
No. I did everything from handling contracts with all the actors, and I did participate in several contract negotiations with Actors Equity, and I also supervised the housing of the cast. And which was how I got to meet Joan in the first place, because we had to find housing for the, like if we did a musical, the chorus kids and, you know, the lesser entities. And the housing had to meet the requirements of Actors Equity. They had to meet a certain price range and have certain amenities. And then we also had the fancier housing for the stars, and so I had found a place in Beacon Hill for Joan for her first appearance. This was before I even met her, and then I had to pick her up and take her to Connecticut to scout out some other things that I had researched down there for her, and so we got to that the first long ride to Connecticut was how we first became friends. So when I first met her, the first thing I said to her was, "Oh, Miss Fontaine, I'm so happy to meet you. Rebecca was my favorite movie of all times." And she just sort of glared at me and didn't say a word. And I thought, oh, my God, she think that's the last thing I saw her in? Because that was in, 1940, I think. 39
or 40,
But then when we got going, she relaxed and she became very friendly. And so I did to ask her, I said, who was your favorite co-star? And she said, Charles Boyer. I don't know how many of your listeners are going to remember him.
Gaslight.
He was exactly. He was such a gentleman and whatnot. And I said, well, dare I ask, who was your least favorite co-star? She said, Laurence Olivier.
From Rebecca, wow.
The first four-letter words I ever heard were from the mouth of that man.
My goodness, you would think he'd be such a gentleman. I'm talking with Rose Madeline Mueller. Her latest series of essays is in a brand new book called The Beautiful People and Other Aggravations. We'll talk about some aggravations in a moment, but getting back to the Chateau de Ville deal, so you must have met quite a few celebs who came through.
Well, yeah, they were on their way out, most of them. You know, when they were doing the dinner theater circuit, they were no longer really in demand for the A pictures. But, oh, Tad Hunter, Van Johnson, George Maharis, Zsa Zsa Gabor, the less said, the better.
Oh, really? Yes, I could see some of these people being a tad difficult, a tad demanding.
Well, this is why I respected Joan so much. She wasn't at all. She was very professional and not the least bit, you know, no outrageous demands, you know.
Okay, stand by one sec. We'll take a quick break when we come back to continue. I want to talk about paranoia, Paul Newman, and other pet peeves. Just one of the many essays in her book. She's a very lovely lady, bred here in Massachusetts and read all over the country, Saturday Evening Post, and we'll continue in a moment. We will talk about the spooky stuff at baseball parks in the Field of Screams book at the bottom of the hour. Jordan Richard. Hey, welcome back. Spending a little time with an old friend, Rose Madeline Mueller, great writer. She's been writing for years, and her essays appear all over, including the Saturday Evening Post and publications across the country. Her latest book, a collection, is called The Beautiful People and Other Aggravations. And Rose is from Massachusetts and writes very funny stuff. And before we wrap up here, everybody has to have a column. If you're a columnist, you've got to do a pet peeve, or you've got to do a list, right?
Mm-hmm.
And would you be kind enough to share what some of your pet peeves are? There is a piece called Paranoia, Paul Newman, and Other Pet Peeves. You got a problem with Paul Newman?
Oh, my only problem with Paul Newman was that he was never my pet.
Ah, okay. Okay, I understand that. Now, here's a few. You say unlovables on your list, people who feel impelled to forward every single email others send to them.
Oh, yes.
That's Peter in the control room just hit a bell when he agrees. Go ahead. Tell me about that.
Oh, I hate it. I have a couple of friends who do this, so they'll just send me, they'll forward everything. And a lot of them are things that, you know, you check them on Snopes.com, their warnings, and they're not even true. And they don't bother checking before they forward them. And I brought that up to one of my friends who does this, and she says, oh, well, I just forward things. I don't check them. Well, don't bother. You know, as I said in my essay, I don't care about the guy who broke the dead fly swallowing contest. I'm not curious about the mating rituals of the fire ant.
Right.
And I couldn't care less about how many rifles Charlton Heston collected before he died. There's too much information.
I agree. Get those forwards up. Here's another one. The layout. Whoever designs the layouts for the supermarket pamphlets, is that what you're saying? Or the
supermarkets.
Okay. So what do you have? What's the problem there?
Well, everything is arranged in such a way that, you know, in order to find one lamb chop, a loaf of bread, and a bunch of carrots, you have to weave through all the 16 aisles. And 9 displays of specials you don't need and can't afford. You know, they do it so you walk through the entire store to get the essential things you need, and it is frustrating.
And then you have I love this. You have a beef with ads that feature the phrase "for your convenience."
Mm-hmm. That is for their profit,
right.
Not for your convenience.
And your call is important to us.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's.
No, it's funny when you start to work on stuff like this. And by the way, your stuff is not, you're not hurting anybody. It's all in good fun. But people can relate to you as I read through these. I mean, I there's a lot of stuff that I could relate to.
Yeah, a lot of people tell me that. You know, I think they are sort of situations that everybody faces.
Do you think that? And again, you're a lady in your. I don't want to say twilight years, but in your older years. Twilight's a good thing. It's the vampire thing. Now, you're a lady who has lived. You're seasoned. Let's put it that way.
Okay, I'm seasoned.
And I want you to give some advice to my listeners who are either approaching retirement or retired, or people who are a little older who might think, oh, just rock and share time, and I'm just going to hang out. What about writing? What about experiencing things? What about doing
Absolutely. I mean, I you have to have some purpose in life, and no matter how old you are or not. I really enjoy writing. I look forward to it. I don't like the marketing. By the way, my book's available on Amazon.
I don't like the marketing. Good for you. No, it isn't.
But I do enjoy the writing. And there are lots of things that you can do as you age. You don't just sit back and rock, as you say.
Whatever happened to, I love this one. Speaking of cute boys, a big attraction of the movies back in my girlhood were the ushers in their tight navy blue jackets. Wow. You know, there's something you don't see very often.
You don't see it at all.
Now you see kids in golf shirts that don't fit, and they got a mop in one hand. That's all you see at the movie theater. Well, this is great stuff. I'm really glad that you're doing well, and you're very, very sweet to get in touch with me again.
You're very nice to have me on, Jordan. I do appreciate it. It's always fun talking to you.
Lovely to talk to you. Rose Madeline Mueller. The book is The Beautiful People and Other Aggravations. And it's not aggravating at all. And by the way, your picture on the cover is just delightful. Sexy and delightful. Okay?
All right. Thanks again,
Take care of yourself.
You too. Right, thank
bye-bye.
You.
All right. Rose Miller, nice lady.